James Bible. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, you will notice that these words are in red because these are the words that Jesus himself spoke. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And amen. You have to understand something. I heard it said on TV the other day. I was so glad to hear it. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that's great. You better concede to the fact that there's a devil out there, and he doesn't want to have tea and crumpets with you. He wants to destroy your life. And I have noticed lately that Satan seems to be, and I want to address this in such a way, trying to steal our joy, trying to steal our peace, trying to steal our self-respect, trying to steal our sense of direction that comes from God. There's no better place than to get. Try to steal from us that sense, that understanding that God loves you. I want to tell you that God loves you. God doesn't love you because you did everything right. He loves you because he created you. He thought enough of you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he sure put Satan under your feet in this life right now. 1 John 4 says, greater is he that is in you. That's why we say so often, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me knocking and opens up, I will come into them and I will change them from the inside out. And I'll handle whatever they need, whatever their weakness. I want you to know God thinks the world of you. You're special because he made you, and he made you to have joy and peace, and the devil wants to take that away from you. He wants to get you off course so you make three or four bad choices in a row. And then you're far from the Lord. And then the devil tells you you're not worthy to go back, and you're this and you're that, and you're a hypocrite. And he's the accuser of mankind, of creation. He accuses any chance he gets a chance to. And he accuses people. And I'm going to give you a moment to think about this, because I don't get my thoughts about what's happening in another country or in another part of this country, but what's happening right here in our fellowship family. And what I see, I just see it. I just see anxiety. I see a lack of joy and purpose. And it's like everything that could be against us is against us right now. But I want you to know, I've been young, and now I'm on Social Security. I'm getting a little older, so I've got this bright idea. I'm thinking about getting my ears pierced.
Go for it.
And I said, I want to make sure, I'm going to probably, if I do it, I'm going to do both of them so I don't do the wrong one. Evidently, there's a wrong one that you can do, and it means something that you don't want it to mean. Oh, I got enough problems. But I'm going to tell you something. I lived through many seasons of disappointment. I can remember in Chicago during the Democratic Convention of 1968, I believe. And they were beating reporters and beating people and pushing people off of bridges. And I lost faith. I lost faith in my country. And in 1971, I asked Jesus to come into my heart because I could feel him knocking at my heart's door. I could feel him saying, I want to come in. I want to help you. I don't want to take from you. I have a lot of things I want to give to you. And I just believed that, and I let him into my heart. And from 1971 to this day, I have seen many things that are disappointing, hard times like this. And I know personally that we're at the end, somewhere at the end of all things, and things will increase and be bad until God takes the church out of here. Because see, it says about the last days, about the rapture, we will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, which is the seventh, okay? And we're going to be taken away from here. We are not at this time in the tribulation period, because the earmark of the tribulation period is that God is pouring out his wrath. There are seven containers, vials of God's wrath. And we go to Thessalonians and we see that God is not storing up his wrath for his children, but for the people that said no, 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 no to Jesus. Now, I was driving with a fella today, and he prayed the most powerful prayer. I think I had him praying for me. His name is Dwayne. He's sitting right over here. And he's growing in the Lord, and he's going through changes. And I've known him since he was about that big. At times, I whipped him like he was my own kid. And I thought, he kind of was a gangster for a while. I thought, man, they're going to find me in a ditch somewhere. He's going to be mad at me. But he loves me because he knows that I loved him. I didn't want anything from him. I gave Larry and Mary a place to live on our place. And I raised Shelley and Melissa. I did that because I loved them. And he felt that love. But I'm telling you, I'm going to give an invitation right now. And if anybody gets up, I'm going to have Dwayne pray for you. If you feel like enough is enough, you've been through so much, your joy is at stake, your peace, your self-respect, it's hard to get that direction. I want you to stand right now. If anybody stands, I'm going to have Dwayne pray for you. Just a short prayer. Okay. You guys on the back row, come up here. Anybody that needs prayer. Now, you can handle this if you are, how would you say that? Just stand right in front here. You can handle this during our communion, but I want you to hear what a prayer and experience the prayer that happens when God changes somebody. And Barbara's on her way up. So, and Dwayne, what I want you to do is just pray for all of them at once. We're not asking for anything. We're not trying to find out your secrets. We just want to pray for you. And I believe this young man, he's under my training and the training of this church. And if you want to come under this prayer, you just come up here. Yeah. I know there's more than this, but we love you. You do what you want to do. It's fine. All right then. Millie, do you have that microphone? And is that microphone turned on? And yeah, so these guys in the sound booth, Dwayne, what I want you to do, if you could all just take hands, if you could just all take hands. Yeah, yeah. Because God cares about each and every one of you and what's going on in your life. Dwayne, I want you I want you to pray like you prayed in that truck when we was coming. Let your daddy pray right now for a minute.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being a powerful God, for being an on-time God, an encouraging God. I thank you for inspiring your children in this church tonight, Father. Yes. Whatever they need, you know what it is. I bind up every spirit of intimidation, spirit of unworthiness, pridefulness, ignorance, spirit of poverty, spirit of pain. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, and I cast you back down to the pits of hell where you belong to never prosper in any one of your children's life. And whatever they're asking for, Father, I just stand in faith with them tonight, Father, and I just call it forth in the name of Jesus by the power invested in me by my God in heaven. I just call it forth in the name of Jesus, and I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, son. God bless you. You're on your way. Praise God. If you would, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. And I'm going to read from the NLT translation of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, where the word says this. Now hear me out. Always be joyful. You know, I saw a sign once and it changed my life. It said, it was about the Ten Commandments. And it said, it's not the Ten Suggestions. It's the Ten Commandments. I think if you're going to have a real experience with God, you have to get right where God is. You have to change. You have to realize some things inside of you are wrong and they're unacceptable to God. And if that offends you, you're not ready. And I pray you can get ready because that's the way it really, really is. And right here in Thessalonians, it's saying always be joyful. Always be joyful. I wouldn't stand up and thank God for my problems. I would stand up and testify and thank God in spite of my problems. I wouldn't stand up and say, thank you, God, that they're about to amputate my leg, take off my right ear. I'm so happy. No, we're not happy about that. No matter what this world gives you, you're going to thank God. You're going to have a testimony all the time. Because if he's not God on your worst day, he ain't your God. You can be sad. You can be broken. It's normal. You've got to be joyful. It is the earmark of Christianity. I noticed there's been a few Wednesdays when we went to Scranton to pick up the food. It was raining. The weather was tumultuous. And Keisha and Megan and all of the girls, Kelly and Dwayne, they still had joy. See, that's the earmark. See, if something has happened to you, and if it was drastic enough, it'll change you from the inside out. There's no doubt about that. Those that are still seeking, I mean, it's so easy to see. Just listen to what they have to say. But remember, he needs to be your God on the worst day. I've seen people lose their children and still stay with the Lord. I've seen people lose their houses and still stay with God. I remember a Wednesday night, not long ago, last turkey season. And Millie and I remember right where we were. We were in the line at McDonald's after church, and somebody was sobbing on the other end of the phone. They said, Brother Angelo, our house is burning down right now in front of us. Now, that's sad. And sad things have happened to everybody in here. But you know that girl didn't give up. She's sitting right there right now. She's here. She doesn't have to be. He made somewhat of a sacrifice, like the rest of you, to come and hear the word of the Lord. Make no mistake, tonight we will activate the power of communion before this service is over. And there's a power that comes through communion that doesn't come anywhere, any other place, any way. So it says there in Thessalonians verse 16, always be joyful. Then it says this, never stop praying. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard multitudes, like grains of sand on a beach, of people in the last 50 so years, they just stopped praying. They just gave it up. But then I've seen people that have hung in there, and they prayed even during the hard times. May I say what Jesus said? In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to get bad news at times. And then, you know what? Then you're not going to show God anything, but then you're going to know whether or not you're a Christian. See, and may I say this here? The only ones that's going to heaven is Christians. Not wannabes, fakers, Christians. And what does it mean to be a Christian? When you pray, say, Our Father. If you're a believer here tonight, God is your Father. More than, you know what? I've never had a father till at my mother's kitchen table in the summer of 1971. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. It's the only father I've ever known. And I clung to him and I grasped him and I wanted to know all about him. And I'm still serving God today, and it's for one reason. God's still my father. He's more my father than he's ever been. And I'm learning to be gracious to people that don't want him. And most of the people I know don't want God. They might want something from him, but they don't want him. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be. Relatively few compared to world population. Few there be that find it. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13 says this, I have a great plan for your life. It's the best plan. It'll make you happier than any other plan. You're still going to have problems, but I can put you on course. When you read 11, 12, and 13, when you get to 13, he says the only way you're going to find it is when you seek me with all of your heart. In the spring of 1987, I wrote that song, when you seek me with all of your heart, then I will come to you. When you trust me with all your heart, when in prayer you draw near, then from heaven I'll hear. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, my children, see, God ain't counting on any president or any army or any scientist to get us through. He's counting on his children, and he wants them to do four things. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. And quite exactly, he's talking about your family, your little neck of the woods, the church you go to, the family when you go home. If you'll do those four things, nothing can stop you from the love and provision and protection and direction and correction of God. That you have to want it more than anything else. So once again, we're reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Now look at verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful on the good days. Be thankful on the bad days. Because see, the bad days make some people turn away from God, walk the other way. That's what I've seen most people do. Always be thankful in all circumstances. When you've heard the worst news, when it looks like this, this, or the other night, you don't mind if I say this, do you? Melissa texted me and she said, I've got a problem. See, why don't you get a hold of somebody that knows something about God and stop calling your dumb friends that don't know anything, that are in just as much trouble as you are. I'm going to tell you something. I've lived this for over 50 years, and looking back, I have never spent a whole year perfect, but I'll tell you what, I have never wanted to leave God, and He has blessed me in every season. He has never, never stopped blessing me. There are people in this room they need to make. I'm praying for every one of you. And I'm praying this time you get the right one, the right person. Don't even try to tell me, no, don't pray for me. No, I'm going to pray for you anyway. But in all things, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. How many of you in this room would say, I belong to Jesus? I'm a believer by your hand being raised up. You either are or you aren't. I want to know. Thank you. I won't tell whose hand was up and whose hands were down. I just want to know who I'm talking to here tonight. But hear that again. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You're going to grow as you go through things that you didn't think you could go through. You're going to grow. You're not just going to go through them. You're going to grow through them. You're going to become powerful. And when you pray, how many of you thought that guy prayed a pretty good prayer? Amen. He was just as big a thug involved in just as much terrible things as could be in one day in his heart. He said, my mama could not be wrong. My granny that prays for me, all my kinfolk, I feel their prayers. I feel the wrongness and discomfort and uneasiness of my soul. And one day he just got away and had a little talk with Jesus. And Melissa spoke to me last Wednesday night. She says, I've got a problem. And I don't need to know at all just what direction. She says, it's a financial problem. I owe a lot of money. I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And I just found out I've got to pay it. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but you're going to do one thing. See, don't have me pray for you and think you're not going to give God the glory, because I'll get it out of you one way or another, or we'll just make the whole thing a lie, one or the other. And I said, there's only one thing I want you to do. When God answers this prayer, I want a jingle. Yep. It was less than 24 hours. And she got a call back. And she was weeping. And she was laughing. And she was shouting. And that financial burden that somebody was trying to illegally bring up to her past, well, her lawyer told her, Melissa, don't worry about that person ever again. They ain't never calling you back. Now, if that was you, you'd be giving God the glory. God can eliminate your debt. God can help you. God can eliminate your sin. God can give you the person in your life that is right for you. God can do anything, everything that's good. The Bible is full of 7,500 promises to mankind. And we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to activate these promises. Those of you that will, those of you that want to. So I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. If you would kind of go there with me, and we will just continue. And these are the words of Jesus. Now, I didn't say this. If you've got a Bible and it's a red letter, it's red right now. I read where the red was, and I found my life. If you'll read where the red is, you're going to find your existence. You're going to find the truth for your life. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, all this shucking and jiving, it ain't going to get you free. So don't worry about tomorrow. Now, this is once again, this is the command of the Lord. And if this is easy for you, well, man, lay hands on me, because it ain't easy for me. It's hard sometimes. It's hard not to think about what's coming up if it's something terrible. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Hey, look here. You might pull out of this parking lot and be in Jesus' arms before you get out of town. Why worry about that stuff? What's the worst that can happen? The word says this, I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not do it. I will not do it. And being a pastor of a small church for many, many years, I've had to look people in the eye that just, they were just going to close this down. And I'll let them know, just like Wyatt Earp, shoot your best shot. But I'm going to tell you, let the Lord judge between you and me. We'll see who's still standing. I've attended a lot of funerals that way. People trying to destroy the work of God. Because see, God has a will and God has a way. And God loves every person in this room. And all he asks is that you get rid of all your ideas and puke them up and eat the word. Eat the promises of God. Is that easy? No. Is it right? It's the only right way. It's the only thing we can do. We got to be right. We got to be right. We got to be right. This is about the devil stealing from you, because I know every one of you enough to know this. You're trying. Every one of you is trying. You're not here by accident. You're trying to do the right thing. And I'll be the first to tell you, it's not always easy. So as Jesus said, today's trouble is enough for today. Now, you can train your born-again, recreated spirit to work with your mind, be renewed by the transforming of your mind, and you can learn how to leave it alone, how to leave it alone until tomorrow. You can learn how to do that. I'm telling you the truth. Many times that's what Millie and I do. By the way, if you make it through all the fights and squabbles and everything, what you're going to find is you fall in love more and more. I love my wife more than I loved her when I married her. And she's the best thing that happened to me. Now, I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and I want you to consider the truth there. So then, since we have a great high priest, you have to understand, Jesus is forever your high priest. And his confessional is wherever you are. And when you're ready to get real with him. If you can say it in your car with the windows rolled up all by yourself and confess it to him, you're on your way. You're on your way. You don't have to tell it to everybody. We don't want to know your stuff, for God's sake. I've got so much stuff. Oh, it makes me want to get slain in the spirit. I don't want to hear any more stuff. Unless I hear this. Melissa, when you called up, you were so excited. I knew that in less than 24 hours, God answered your prayers. We sent a prayer cloth to that little five-year-old with leukemia. What was her first name? What is it?
Eden.
I got trouble with John here. No, his name is David. I told Christy, tell John I said hello and I'm praying for him. She goes, well, I'll tell David. I said, please don't hold it against me. Little Eden, was that last Wednesday night? Same thing, same time. What was happening there? The spirit to answer prayers was there, you see. Any prayer, anything, any cancer, any problem, your problems are straightened out, haven't they? Somewhat. They're on their way. Care. Let me tell you something. All we do is what the Bible says to do here. And I didn't invent prayer cloths. That's read Acts chapter 19. You'll find out why we do that. And that little girl, the first thing Tommy told me, she's progressively getting better. We think every tube is out of her. And her diagnosis has changed. She's becoming a normal five-year-old kid. I don't care what you're using, what you got. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything over on the church. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their family. It's time to activate the power of communion. It starts with a self-examination. Why? Because that's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar or make an altar. And if you don't want to take communion, well, you should. And seek God. And if there's a problem that shouldn't be there, tell God, confess it to him. Tell him, I've got a problem. Confess it. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you and to cleanse you from your sins. Let's pray together.